This call is being recorded.
Welcome to Living Above the Drama. I'm your host, Dr. Georgiana Donadio, and today my guest is a holistic physician and best-selling author, Dr. Bradley Nelson. He is one of the world's foremost experts in the emerging fields of bioenergetic medicine and energy psychology. At the tender age of 7 years old, Dr. Brad had and remembers the details of a healing miracle he says he will never forget. At the age of 15, he experienced yet another amazing healing, this time from kidney disease through the help of alternative physicians. He then knew he was being called to help others through the practice of non-traditional medicine. After he received his license in natural healing and medicine, he went on to conduct a private practice for almost 20 years, assisting others to get well naturally. He believes that trapped emotions are at the core of almost everything, from phobias and anxiety attacks to cancers and conditions like fibromyalgia. His research shows that by clearing unconsciously trapped emotions, the individual can get better, and often the condition completely disappears. Using quantum physics and ancient healing practices, he has developed the Emotion Code, which is a self-help practice that anyone can learn, and use this to heal themselves of long-standing conditions or pain. In his best-selling book, The Emotion Code, he provides step-by-step instructions for working with the body's own healing power by releasing trapped, unconscious emotions. Dr. Brad states that this work has given him a powerful purpose and life's mission, which is to share with others the knowledge he was given at the age of 15. Dr. Bradley Nelson, I am very excited to have you on the show today. Thank you for taking the time from your amazingly busy schedule to be with us today.
Well, thank you, Georgiana. It's great to be here. I'm very excited to be on your show.
Well, thank you. Well, we've got so much that we want you to share with us and talk about. I'm going to jump right in here. You were telling me in the pre-interview, powerful stories. I mean, amazing, really kind of otherworldly. And isn't that a bit of what's going on here with all of this unconscious trapped emotion and all of this wonderful kind of connection between the body and the mind? Would you start by telling us that incredible story and also what happened to you at 15 and how you knew you were on the path of your destiny?
Well, now, which story would you want me to tell?
It started at seven, and didn't it keep going? And then you were 15, and you had your kidney disease, and then you had another wonderful experience.
Yes. Well, what happened to me when I was age seven was I had the measles, and I was really sick, and I had overheard my parents talking about what the plan was. You know how kids will eavesdrop sometimes or overhear what parents are talking about. And I understood that the plan was I was checking into the hospital the next day and I was going into something called an oxygen tent. And I didn't really know what an oxygen tent was. I'd never heard that phrase before. And the tent part of it sounded kind of interesting, but I was too sick to really be able to enjoy it. And something really amazing happened that I will never forget. If I live to be a million years old or more, it's burned into my mind. What happened was this particular night, everyone else had gone to bed, and my parents were still up. I was still up. They had made a bed for me on the couch in the living room so I could be near their room. And I'm lying there on the couch just feeling really ill, and my parents walked into the room, and my mother said to my father, she said, "Honey, will you kneel down with me and say a prayer so that our boy will be able to get well?" And so they did. They knelt down by the side of the couch, and my father started praying in this very humble, very heartfelt way. And I, knowing my father, it was probably the first time in my life I'd ever heard my father actually pray out loud. And something happened in the middle of this. This change started at the top of my head, and it went whoosh through my body that quickly to the soles of my feet, and I was healed. And it was a supernatural kind of thing, and it was the most amazing thing. I mean, to go from being really, really sick one moment to being completely well and full of vibrant health in the next instant, is something so singular and so unusual and so remarkable and incredible that you don't ever forget it. And I remember every detail of this, like it happened yesterday.
Wow.
And yeah. I held my tongue until my dad was done praying, which didn't take long. And when he was done, I said, I'm better. God healed me. Father in heaven, he's fixed me. I'm better. And they said, that's fine, honey. You go back to sleep now. You're going into the hospital tomorrow. But the next day proved it, that I was better. So at that tender age of only 7, I learned in a very profound, very personal way that there's a higher power out there that's invisible to us, but that we can ask for help and we can get help. And so that stuck in my mind. And about 7 years later, I was diagnosed with kidney disease. And it was quite serious. My kidneys were forming scar tissue and hemorrhaging on a low level all the time. And my parents took me to the hospital and they ran all these tests and they diagnosed what was going on. And my parents were very worried about me. I was very worried because, I mean, these pains would come out of the blue and put me on the ground sometimes. But yet there was nothing medically that could be done, nothing that medicine had to offer me. So my parents decided they wouldn't give up. They would try an alternative. And so they took me to see some holistic doctors who started working on me. And I could feel what they were doing was helping me right away. And within about 3 weeks, my pains were way less frequent, way less severe. And within about a month, I wasn't feeling any pain anymore at all. So my parents took me back to the hospital where they ran all the tests again. And as I recall, they ran the test twice. And they said, well, it's a spontaneous remission. Whatever we did must have helped. And I was only 13, but I knew that what these people had done had helped me. And it had been exactly what I needed. I knew that in my heart. And so I decided that's what I wanted to do with the rest of my life. I wanted to go into the healing arts, and I wanted to be a doctor that that was kind of more of a natural doctor, because these other doctors, the mainstream medical doctors, couldn't really help me. So that was the lesson that I learned at that age. So
that's quite a story.
Yeah, well, it really is. It's been an amazing journey for me. And what happened was then, years went by, and I got involved in working with computers and doing computer programming, and eventually I kind of strayed from that direction of going into the healing arts. And at a certain point in my life, it was in the winter of 1987, my father, out of the blue, I was talking with him one day at Christmas time, and he said to me out of the blue, he said, "Are you sure that you don't want to go into the healing arts? You've always wanted to do that. And seems like a great career and a great direction for you." And I said, "No, I'm going this other direction. I'm going into the business world. I'm going to get my MBA, and I'm going into computers and so on." And he said, "Well, why don't you think about it one more time?" So I did, and I thought about it one more time, and I prayed, and I actually received an answer. It was a really clear answer, actually, that I needed to go into the healing arts. So I did. So eventually, I went to chiropractic school. Went through school, got out of school, and when I got into practice and I'm actually seeing patients, I am feeling that I need help. And so so I developed this private habit, this very private, very personal habit of asking for help, just offering a silent prayer for help for each person that I saw. And it was a totally private thing. Like I said, nobody ever knew that I was doing this. And it was just a momentary pause as I would go to work on someone. But there were times in answer to that request for help when information would literally just flood into my being like an avalanche of data and understanding of what to do to help this particular person. And I learned things that I never could have learned anywhere else. And I learned that the subconscious mind of each one of us has all the information that is needed about what's wrong with us. You see, in the world that we live in, when we're diagnosed with some kind of a problem, we're diagnosed with cancer or some digestive problem, or we're suffering from infertility or depression or asthma or anxiety or phobias or panic attacks or PTSD, or we have migraine headaches or back pain or whatever it might be, we are left really to deal with it on the level of the conscious mind. And the conscious mind doesn't really know much. I mean, we forget important things all the time. We don't remember what we had for breakfast last Wednesday. We forget our anniversaries and important things like that. So the conscious mind is a very, very small part of our total computer power, but the vast bulk of our intelligence is actually subconscious. And what I learned during those years is that we can tap into that subconscious part of us, and we can ask questions, and we can get answers, and the subconscious mind is very, very willing to give those answers. So
it seems to be that way, Dr. Brad, because there's so much being done with hypnosis and visualization, and there are so many things that are going on now that are tapping into the unconscious mind. And it seems that the unconscious mind is the CPU. It's the CPU of the body, and all of the data and all the memories, and oh my Lord, if you read about the neurology of how much stimulation we are taking in every minute of every day. So this CPU with all these stored files is obviously a big key for all of us to be able to, you know, tap into. And it sounds like, and the work that you've been doing, and you've been doing it for a long time, and we're very excited to talk about it, that you have found a way to give people, all of us, the ability to be able to communicate with that unconscious mind, yes?
Yes, exactly right. That's really what this is about. I'll give you an example. Well, before I do, let me set the stage here. What I found was that no matter what my patients were suffering from, and I saw the entire gamut of possibility with people over all the years that I was in practice, not really 19 years in practice, and I saw people of all ages suffering from all kinds of conditions. But because I had learned how to tap into the subconscious mind and ask questions and get very concrete answers, what I found was surprising to me. What I found was that the number one underlying cause, the most common underlying cause for all these people, no matter what their age was and no matter what they were suffering from, whether it was mental or physical or emotional, was actually what you might call their emotional baggage. And, you know, we talk about emotional baggage sometimes, and we use that phrase sometimes, almost always in reference to someone else, right? We very rarely use it to refer to ourselves. It's usually in conversation we talk about, Joanne, she has a lot of emotional baggage. The reality is we all have this emotional baggage. And I found out what our emotional baggage consists of. You see, the human body is an energy field. If you get right down to it, if you look at your hand with a big enough microscope, you'll see that the hand is made of atoms. And if you look inside the atom, you see there's nothing in there but empty space and some little infinitesimally tiny energies that are zipping around at the speed of light. And that's really what we are. And, of course, the quantum physicists like Albert Einstein and his contemporaries have been telling us that for many, many years. But it really is true. And what I found is that when you're feeling an intense emotion, if that emotion is powerful enough, on a quantum level, what's really going on is that your body is feeling a certain frequency of energy, because everything ultimately is frequency and everything is energy. And when you're feeling an emotion that is overwhelmingly powerful, the energy of that emotion sometimes is not processed by the body very well. And what ends up happening is some of the energy from that emotion gets stuck in the body or left behind, so that when the bully moves away or the divorce is finalized or you quit that job and get a better job or the abuse ends in some way, whatever it might be, you think that you're done and you think that you're leaving all of that behind and all that emotional baggage behind you, but you're not. You're bringing it with you. Let me share a story with you. One of the first times that I saw this was a woman who came in to see me who thought she was having a heart attack, and she had crushing chest pain and difficulty breathing, and her left arm was completely numb, the left side of her face was numb, and boy, it sure looked like a heart attack to me. And I told my staff, look, we might need an ambulance, so just stand by here for a minute. And I did some testing on her, and what I found using the emotion code was that she had a trapped emotion that was contributing or causing these symptoms, and the emotion was grief. Now, with the emotion code, we're able to tap into the subconscious mind and get these very concrete answers. So very quickly, I was able to determine by just simply asking some questions and getting some answers that this had occurred 3 years before. And when I arrived at that, she burst into tears. And she said, I can't believe that's affecting me. I thought I dealt with all that. And I said, well, what happened? She said that 3 years before, her husband had an affair. And she found out about it and confronted him. And the marriage blew up and didn't last long and ended. But she was really deeply in love with this guy and thought she was going to be with him forever. But it didn't work out that way. So she cried lots and lots of tears and had this tremendous grief. And she went to therapy and dealt with it mentally. And then she'd even gotten remarried recently. But what had happened 3 years before was still with her. And in fact, when I released that trapped emotion, which just takes a few seconds, the feeling came back into her arm and into her face, whoosh, that fast. The chest pain was gone. The difficulty breathing was gone. She left the office 10 minutes later, feeling totally fine. And she and I are still friends. We're still in touch. That was almost 30 years ago. And I believe that if we had not released that emotional energy, that trapped emotion from her, it's very likely she would have become one of these people who dies of a broken heart. And nobody really knows about it. And in her case, I think she probably would have died of a broken heart. She would have had heart failure at some point. And nobody would have known that it was really her husband's affair that killed her. Mm-hmm. And so that was really a very dramatic introduction for me into how this emotional baggage that we have can manifest as physical symptoms, as physical pain, and also as other kind of kinds of problems as well. Let me share another story with you. There was a man who came in to see me many years ago when I was in practice, and he had really severe back pain, low back pain. And on a 0 to 10 scale, 0 being no pain and 10 being call 911, he was a 9. It was really severe. It had been going on for a week or so. And I tested him to see what was going on and found there was a trapped emotion that was really the cause of this, and the emotion was anger. And I was able to determine very quickly that this had occurred about 20 years before. And he immediately knew what it was, knew he remembered what had happened, something really difficult that he'd been through. And I released that trapped emotion, and his pain level went from 9 to 0 in about the time it's taken me to tell you the story, not long at all. And he was really excited. He couldn't believe it. He kept moving around and proving that his pain really was gone. And I was excited that it worked so well and just really glad that he was feeling better. Well, he left the office feeling fine. 2 days later, he came back into my office. And he was still feeling fine. And he said, you know, my back feels great. And he said, I still can't quite understand that. That was amazing. But he said, there was another problem that I've had that I didn't tell you about when I came in. He said, for as long as I can remember, I've basically been a rageaholic. He said, I'm always yelling at my wife and my kids. I've got to watch the road rage. He said, I've been to anger management 3 times, hasn't really done much for me, hasn't really helped me. He said, I've just kind of been this way. And he said, I just thought that's who I was. But he said, since you released that trapped emotion of anger from me, I just don't feel it anymore. He said, I just feel kind of relaxed and I feel kind of at peace. And he said, how did that work? And at the time, what I said to him was, I said, I don't know. I'm not really sure. Because I was just learning how this works and how our bodies are really affected. But what I want you to think about here for a moment is what we really believe now about the nature of our emotional baggage. You see, when you are feeling an intense emotion and it's too powerful and that emotion gets stuck in the body, it actually forms into a little ball. We call it a trapped emotion, and it's from about the size of a baseball to about the size of a volleyball, maybe. And these things will lodge in the body, and they can lodge anywhere in the body. And then what they do is they have this distorting effect on the body, on the energy field that makes up your body. Now, because all your body really is an energy field, when you have this emotional baggage there that is distorting that energy field on a continual basis, ultimately you are interfering with the flow of energy in that area, the flow in the acupuncture meridians, the flow of chi. You're interfering to some degree with the blood flow, chemical reactions, lymph flow, and so on. And that's why we see that 90% in our experience now over the last 30 years 90% of all the physical pain that people have is actually due in whole or in part to emotional baggage. Because when we release emotional baggage, people's pain goes away, like this guy.
That's really fascinating. And we are going to have to take a break, a commercial break. But before we go, when we come back, I'd really like to explore this with you further. My understanding and the research that I've been involved with is that thoughts produce things, I'm sure. You know, you would agree with that, that thoughts are biochemical. They're also energies, and that those energies communicate to cells in the body. And specific feelings, specific emotions, specific thoughts have very specific effects on cell membranes of very specific tissue. So if you're having certain emotions that are going to affect the liver or the kidney or the stomach, they're in fact going to really cause pain and dysfunction and disease. So I'd really love to speak more about this when we come back from the break, because it seems that the energies and the emotion and all of that stuff has many levels to it. Some of it is the neurological, the biochemical, the energetic, the intentional, the spiritual, the emotional. There are so many components that create this, what you call that, you know, this emotional clog or this emotional, you know, problem that is going on inside the body. And that I would personally love to understand, I'm sure the listeners want to understand more, you know, the mechanism of this CPU and the mechanism of how these thoughts, these feelings, these emotions actually create energetic, you know, blogs or clogs in our body, and how we also want to hear how you get rid of them, because that's the exciting part, not only understanding how they get formed, but how you get rid of them. We're going to be right back, everybody, so don't go away. This is a really exciting conversation. We're going to find out how we can heal ourselves. Be right back. And we are back with Dr. Bradley Nelson, who is one of the world's foremost experts in fascinating field of bioenergetic medicine and energy psychology, and has developed and created an amazing healing process that all of us can partake in, and we can do it very quickly. So, Dr. Brad, before the break, you know, I was talking to you about, you know, the mind-body, the kind of psychoneurophysiology that is known today about thoughts or things, and thoughts produce peptides, and peptides communicate with certain cell membranes in certain tissues, et cetera, so that, you know, the reason somebody has a stomach ache or a kidney problem or a liver problem is connected to very identifiable emotions. Now, laying that on top of the amazing work that you're doing, releasing these trapped emotions and what have you, can you speak to that whole thing? Because I'm sure that that's, you know, what we like to do is kind of integrate everything and connect everything, so that it becomes even clearer and clearer to us that we are the authors of our own novels. We're actually creating these manifestations, and by understanding the trapped energy phenomena, we can reverse them. So why don't you jump right in there and talk about that?
Absolutely. Well, first of all, the way I look at the body is not how I used to look at it. I look at the body entirely from an energetic viewpoint now, and I have I've learned a lot about the ancient medicine forms, the ancient healing forms in the world, and what I have found is really fascinating, that the organs in the body and most of the glands, I believe, act as frequency generators. That, in other words, when you're feeling an emotion of anger, that's probably being generated by the liver. And so, for example, think about the angry drunk, which is almost a parable in our society. When people get drunk, a lot of the time they get angry. Well, what's going on a biological level? What's happening is the liver is trying to. Oh, you know what? I'm sorry. Can you hear that thing?
Yeah.
We can edit this out, maybe.
No.
Oh, okay. Well, on a biological level, what's happening is the liver is trying to break down and process the alcohol that's being taken in. And so the liver is getting overstimulated, you see. And so in response, you'll tend to get more emotional energy out of that liver. The liver will tend to produce more of those emotional frequencies, more of those feelings. And so anger and resentment are some of the top two there. The same thing with other organs. For example, the lungs. The story. There's a story in the book that I talk about where Dana Reeve, Christopher Reeve's wife, about a year after he died, she was diagnosed with lung cancer, and people said, "Oh well, she must have been a smoker." No, she wasn't a smoker. And then people said, "Well, it must have been secondhand smoke." Well, no, but if you look at the lungs, they produce these emotions like grief and sadness, yeah. Mm-hmm. Sorrow, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And so so it's a fascinating thing. And, of course, the peptides and all of that, and Candace Pert wrote a wonderful book called The Molecules of Emotion. Yeah. I believe it all dovetails together. And ultimately, those peptides and those emotional molecules really, they're also energy. So so that's how we look at it, and we try to keep it really simple for people.
Yeah, and that was the point I was trying to make. You were looking at it, you're saying that like the liver produces the anger, and other energy medicine people who are, you know, especially the scientists that are, you know, studying the brain function and peptides and what have you, and even Candace Pert, her whole approach was there are these peptides, thoughts produce biochemicals. Those biochemicals are—they're keyed. They're coded to go to very specific organs. So, for instance, right. When you were talking about her lung cancer, yes, grief. But it wasn't that her lungs were producing grief; it's that she was feeling grief, and grief targets certain organs, just like there are certain diseases of the heart and diseases of the intestines and diseases of the spleen and the gallbladder, that the thought process, the emotional energetic process by which we create those peptides, communicate to those cell membranes. Those cell membranes start to dysfunction genetically. They actually start to transform, and they cause and produce these diseases. But what I'm saying is I think that no matter how you're calling it, no matter who's calling it what, mm-hmm. if you're looking at it from the organ to the feeling, or Candace Pert's looking at it from the thought to the organ, what's going on there is this powerful energetic transformation that's taking place. And I think the reason we like to connect everything is so if somebody's reading this, they get off, you know, they get off this, listening to this podcast, and they're reading a book and they're hearing something else, we can realize that everything is connected to everything else. That whether right. it's the thought that precedes the disease, mm-hmm. whether it's the energy that's coming from body genetics or the environment or real electrical energy in our homes and that is surrounding us, we want to realize that everything is everything. You know, I went to school, there was this incredibly very well-known jazz musician, Ken McIntyre. He was renowned throughout the world. He unfortunately died too young. And he used to say, "Everything is everything." And he was That's from the right. South, and he had a twang, and he would say, "Everything is connected to everything else." And it's really true. So that when we're looking at this, I think to simplify for people, to really explain to them in a powerful way, no matter how you look at it, what's happening, you know, beam me up, Scotty, it's all energy, you know, and so the work that you've done is so helpful. And now we got to get down to brass tacks, Dr. Brad. We're not going to let you get away with this. Okay, you got to talk to us about, all right, give us a hint, give us a clue. How do we get in touch with the unconscious, and how do we begin to address these energy these energetic stuck packets in our body?
Okay. Well, let me explain that. But before I do, I want to tie up a loose end on that story that I was telling you about the man with the back pain who had the anger issue.
Yep.
It's important to understand what was really going on with him. When you have this trapped emotion, he had this trapped emotion of anger in his low back, causing back pain 20 years later. He also was an angry person. What was going on there was that when a situation would arise in his life where he might tend to feel anger, he would feel anger. He would slide right into that emotion much more easily, much more readily than he otherwise would have, because literally part of his body was feeling that emotional vibration of anger all the time, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So he would slide right into that much more easily. And that's why when we remove this emotional baggage, it changes how people feel physically, but also mentally and emotionally. Now, the process itself is very, very simple, but it can only be done by tapping into the subconscious mind. So let me share with you one of the methods that we use that all of your listeners can do right now. It's really, really simple. We call this the sway test. Now, to set the stage for this, we all know that if you put a plant near a window, it will tend to grow towards the light coming in from the window. And if you leave it there too long, it will be permanently bent in one direction, right? Mm-hmm. They've done studies where they found that if you put a plant in a room that has uniform lighting all around, the plant, of course, will grow straight up. But if you put a speaker in that room and the speaker's playing beautiful, soothing music and lullabies, the plant will actually grow towards the speaker. Now, if you put a speaker in the room that's playing negative kinds of music, harsh, grating sounds, screamo, things like that, the plant will bend away from the sound coming out of that speaker, and the roots themselves will bend away from that. Now, the human body has this same ability to respond to positive or negative input. So here's how this works. Now, if you're driving, just try this when you get home. But if you're not, go ahead and stand up, drop your hands down to your sides, and just allow your body to totally relax. It's helpful also to close your eyes. Now, your body will tend to sway forward automatically if you're holding thoughts of truth or positivity or congruency. If you're holding thoughts of negativity or falsehood or incongruency, the body will tend to sway backwards. So this is the subconscious mind using, really trying to communicate to you through this medium of your physical body. So here we go. As you're standing there totally relaxed, arms down by your sides, eyes closed, I want you to think about, we'll start with something negative. I want you to think about the word war. Now, we hear that word every day. We've heard it all of our lives. But for a moment, what I'd like you to do is I'd like you to just think about what really goes on in war. What are people doing to other people in war? Think about that for a moment. What's really happening on a human level to villages, to families, to men and women and children? What's really happening, really? And how many tears have been shed over all the wars that have been fought over all these generations of mankind's history? Now, as you're thinking about this, and as you're standing there totally relaxed, the moment your subconscious mind connects with what your conscious mind is thinking, at that moment, you'll start to sway backwards. And that's your subconscious mind trying to move you away from the sheer negativity of that thought. Now, let's shift gears here for a minute, and I want you to think about someone in your life that has done something nice for you. Maybe it's a parent, maybe a teacher, maybe a husband, wife, child, whatever it might be. If you can allow your heart to fill with gratitude or love for that person, go ahead and do that. Just allow your heart to fill with love. Think about how grateful you are to that person or how much you love that person. Think about that for a moment, and as you're thinking about that and how grateful you really are or how much you love that person, gratitude and love are very, very high vibrations. And as your subconscious mind starts to connect with what your conscious mind is thinking, you'll start to move forward. And I know that a lot of your listeners right now are probably right on their tiptoes because their subconscious mind is trying to move their body towards that positive vibration and towards that thought. Now, we call this the sway test. And you can ask questions and get answers from the subconscious mind, which is the most powerful computer in the known universe, by simply using the sway test and getting answers yes or no. Yes will tend to go forward. Backwards will be no. So here's a question that you can pose to your mind right now. Do I have a trapped emotion? Do I have a trapped emotion? Think about that. Do I have a trapped emotion? Hold that thought in your mind. Hold that question in your mind, and if the answer to that question is yes, your body will start to sway forward. And if the answer is no, your body will start to sway backward. And if this didn't work for you the first time, you might just need to give it a little more time than we have here on the radio. But this does work, and we have people all over the world using it. So the next time you go into a health food store, for example, and you see someone that's standing there swaying, they might be one of our people.
One of our people. So what right. You're saying is the way that you begin to communicate with your unconscious mind is to allow it to to let you know through the sway technique whether or not you're onto something.
Yeah, that's one method. Now, we teach in the Emotion Code book and in the videos and so on, we teach a number of other methods that you can use to get this information out of the body. And it's actually very simple. Let me share a story with you. I was talking with a woman not too long ago who told me that she went to a website that we have called emotioncodegift.com where you're able to download the book and the audio of the book for free. And she did that. She started reading the book and listening to it. And her son started reading it and listening to it as well. And he started practicing with his friends. And she didn't pay too much attention. A couple of weeks went by. One day, the phone rings. And she picks up the phone, and there's a woman on the other end of the phone line, and she identifies herself as the mother of one of this woman's son's friends. And she says, listen, your son's been doing this emotional thing, and I don't really understand it, but she said, I have to tell you something. She said, my son has had a severe phobia of water all of his life. Now, you can have a phobia to anything. He had a phobia to water. She said, it's been very disruptive to his life. It's been very disruptive to our life as a family. We've tried everything. We've taken him to everybody. Nothing has ever worked. She said, right now, I'm at the community pool. She said, my son is out in the pool playing in the water with the other boys for the very first time in his life. She said, your son did this to him. She said, I cannot understand how this is even possible. After all we have done and all we have tried, how is this possible? What in the world is he doing? Now, those two boys were only 11 years old. That's how simple this can be, and yet how life-changing and how powerful it can be. You can find a trapped emotion once you learn how to do this method in less than a minute or so. So it's very rapid, very easy, very quick, and easy enough for kids to do.
And so what did he do? The question is, what did he do to that 11-year-old?
Right.
I mean, okay, so well, the swaying was working and that was going on, but what actually happened? How was that released?
Great question. Well, here's how this process works. We have a chart of emotions. And the chart has 60 emotions in it, divided up into two columns and six rows. And so basically what this young boy probably did with his friend, he probably had him hold his arm out parallel to the floor, and then he probably started asking him some questions. Now, the subconscious mind will sway forward if the answer coming from the subconscious is yes, the body will sway forward. If the answer is no, the body will tend to sway backwards. By the same token, if you're holding your arm out in front of you outstretched and the answer coming from the subconscious is yes, the arm will be strong. If the answer is no, the arm will be weak. So this young boy was asking questions, and it probably looked something like this. He probably said, do you have a trapped emotion that's contributing to your phobia of water? His arm probably came back very strong on his friend's downward pressure. And then he probably said, well, is this trapped emotion then in column A in the chart? And it might have been yes or it might have been no. And if it wasn't in column A, then it was in column B. And then he would have asked, is it in one of the odd rows, yes or no? Maybe it was, that would be strong. Maybe it wasn't, that would be weak. And very quickly, he was able to narrow it down to one of these cells. There are, again, two columns, six rows, and each cell then has five emotions in it. So he was able to very quickly narrow it down to the five emotions in that cell. And then he just went through and asked, well, is it this emotion or this one or this one or this one or this one? And one of those would most likely have been positive. And then at that point, usually the emotion can just be released. Now, to release a trapped emotion, it just takes three swipes of a magnet or your fingertips, because they're also magnetic, down the governing meridian. Now, that meridian, so in other words, what it probably looked like is he probably just ran his fingertips down the middle of his friend's back a few times, and that was all it took. So it might have taken a minute. It might have taken maybe 2 minutes at the outside to correct a problem that this boy had for many years. Now, he might have needed to release more than one trapped emotion. However, with phobias, we usually see it's just one or two trapped emotions. Does that help?
Well, I hope the listener is, you know, is thinking the same things that I'm thinking. You know, it's a conceptual thing. I mean, you're talking about muscle testing. You're talking about so many things are coming into play. There's so much going on. But basically, it's using the body as the author of what's going on unconsciously and looking for ways. The sway is one. Muscle testing is another. There are all kinds of methodologies that are used to communicate with the unconscious. But what you're basically saying is you've developed a way to identify what is going on in terms of which particular emotion, and then going into the energy field of the body, whether it's using a magnet or using your hand, to break mm-hmm. that cycle, to break up that energetic congestion that's going on in there. And I think, honestly, I mean, mm-hmm. I shared with you, I've been a healthcare practitioner for 42, 43 years. I can't remember. It's been a long time. And before that I was in nursing. So I've been in medicine for a very, very long time. And I think what happens is for all of us, most of us, you know, look, we're living in the modern world and we're not very conscious. Most of us are not terribly conscious. I mean, I'm sorry to say that, but it's really,
true.
I think if we were being honest with ourselves, we are conscious in many ways, but we're not really conscious about, you know, kind of the amazing world that lives inside and outside of us and everything that's going on around us. So I think it takes a little bit of experience. And the one thing that you talked about, and we have to take our last break, but when we come back, we're going to talk about the real enchilada here, the real avocado pit, which is the whole idea of energetic spirituality and faith and what goes along. You said something that was really powerful during the pre-interview. I really want to refer to that, because when we start talking about these almost mystical things like, well, you know, we can break up energy congestion, you know, by asking the body to tell us where it is and to remove it, that takes a certain leap of consciousness and a certain leap of awareness. So I just want to say to the listeners, look, you know, the world's a great mystery, but wow, isn't this a powerful tool? And don't you all want to try it? And Dr. Brad is going to tell you how you can try it for free, which is incredible. So we're going to take a break. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about some really wonderful things. And then Dr. Brad's going to tell us how you can avail yourself of this great, great methodology. Don't go away. And we are back. We have been talking to Dr. Bradley Nelson, who is a remarkable researcher, doctor, visionary, and teacher who's doing wonderful work with trapped emotion and dealing with how we can become happier, healthier, better, stronger, you know, more fulfilled people by using some very simple tools that he's developed through quantum physics and looking at very ancient and very traditional healing. So we've been talking about that, but I said to him, we're not going to let you get away with this. You can't tease us. You can't tease us with this, okay? Because this is kind of cool, right? At the pre-interview, Dr. Brad was talking about something that's near and dear to my heart. We talked about angels, and I'm going to ask you to repeat that story.
Sure.
But he told wonderful stories about angels and about people being present during these healings. But he also said, which is absolutely something I'm sure most of you are familiar with, and if you're not, then it's something you really want to know about. There is this incredible passage that comes from Matthew in the Bible that says, whatever you ask for in prayer, with faith you will receive. And I believe, Dr. Brad, what your experience has been from an early child is that you saw that there are beings and energies and entities, you know, all around us, angels among us that are helping us and facilitating just about everything we need, not just our healing, although healing is taking place all the time, but also facilitating all of our needs, all of our desires, all of our struggles. And even though everybody doesn't get well, and even though we don't always get what we want, it seems that there's a greater plan going on. Do you want to talk about that? Because you did talk about some amazing experiences about, you know, having different beings be present during the healings.
Absolutely. Well, the The first story that I want to share with you is something that happened to my my former executive assistant. Is a woman named Connie Barton, and she's one of our staff practitioners now. So she works with people all over the world doing this work. And by the way, the emotion code can be done at any distance because it is a very pure form of energy work. So it's not bound by distance at all. So she has a clientele all over around the world. And what happened was she grew up with a girl in Chicago. Her best friend is one of those people who has that gift to be able to see spirits. And so anyway, her friend came to visit her one day. And the two of them were going to go downtown to go have lunch or something. And Connie told her friend, she said, listen, I've got some sessions to do. I've got some people I need to work with on the computer at a distance. And she said, when I'm done, then we'll go. But for now, why don't you just sit out here and read a magazine or something, and then I'll let you know when I'm finished. And her friend said, well, listen, if it's okay with you, I'd like to just be a fly on the wall and see what it is you're doing these days. So Connie said, okay, fine. So her friend came in, sat in the room in the corner, and Connie did her work with all of her people. Now, one of the things that we recommend with this work is that before you go to work on somebody, you take a moment and you ask for help from up above, whatever you believe that up above to be. Because what we have come to determine is that the highest duty of the healer is really to act as a go-between for that higher power. And that's really when you're in the zone, when you're just being an instrument and things are flowing through you. So anyway, Connie worked on five or six people. And when she got done, her friend came over to her and she said, Connie, she said, I don't know if you really understand what's going on here. She said, when you were getting ready to work on that first person, and you had that moment of silence where you were offering a prayer for them, she said, what I saw was a number of spirits that came in and stood right behind your chair. She said, they were very intently focused on helping you to help that person. And she said, I could tell that there was some kind of a relationship between the person that you were trying to help and these people. And she said, when you were done with that person, that group left. And when you offered that silent prayer for the next person, a whole different group came in. She said, sometimes, one time it was five people. Sometimes it was two or three. And she said, sometimes I could tell that they were deceased ancestors of this person. Sometimes they were yet to be born descendants of this person. But she said, they were always there trying to help you to help that person. It was a very profound thing. I want to share another story with you. You see, I believe that that happens every time when we're trying to do this work, because those people that are on the other side that we don't see are they're just as important as we are, and they have they're very connected with us, and I believe they always will be. So, and in fact, my own belief is that our angels that we talk about are probably most of the time our own departed ancestors, because who would be more interested in us than them, right? It only makes sense. Well, I was speaking at a conference a few years ago, and there was a woman that came up out of the audience, and she had terrible hip pain. She'd had it for a year, and she'd seen a number of different doctors for it. They hadn't been able to help her. It was so bad that she would have to manually lift her leg to get into or out of her car. And it was about a 9 on a 0 to 10 scale at this event. So she comes up on the stage with me in front of about 300 people. And I found an imbalance going on and released that, and it took it from a 9 to a 4 as far as the pain level. And then the next thing that I found was that she had an inherited trapped emotion of fear. Now, sometimes we inherit emotional energy from mom or dad that they might have inherited from their mom or dad and so on. This is one of the ways that information is passed down, is through these trapped emotions. Well, this emotion was fear, and I traced it back using muscle testing, went back 12 generations on her father's side, grandfather to grandfather to grandfather. That's how it went. So I tested her, because what I have found over the last number of years is that when we're working on an emotion, if we find out that it's inherited, the direct line ancestors will always seem to show up. We can't see them, but every once in a while I'll have an event where somebody will be able to see them. Some people have that gift. It's a little bit rare, but becoming more common. Anyway, so I tested her, and the muscle testing said that all of those grandfathers were there with us, on the stage with us. And I, of course, I couldn't see them, but I like to do that just to help people understand what's really going on in this unseen area. So anyway, I released the emotion of fear from her, which, by the way, we find it also releases from those ancestors. And I think that's the reason why they show up, because this emotional baggage that they've been carrying, even though they don't have a physical body, they still have it, and it's about to be released, so they show up. So anyway, the pain instantly went from a 4 to a 0, and she's literally dancing around on the stage, and then she goes back and sits down. And I finish my lecture, and I go back to our booth, where we I had some of my staff members. And about a minute after I got to my booth, this woman comes up to the booth, and she said to me the following. She said, I want you to know, she said, all my life I've had this gift of seeing spirits that other people don't see. And she said, it's kind of been a gift, but it's kind of been a curse, kind of a mixed blessing. But she said, I want you to know something. She said, when you were up there talking about those ancestors, those grandfathers, she said, I saw them all, every one, just like you described. But she said, there was something else going on that I don't know that you were aware of. She said, what I saw was the spirits of about 200 or so people surrounding the stage, 200 or so spirits. And she said they were the unborn descendants of this woman. And she said they were there and they were rejoicing that they were not going to have to take on this crippling energy from this woman. And of course, I had no idea that that was something also that, you know, was going on. But you see, this work, the emotion code, it came through me. I'm just doing my mission in this world. I believe that this is the purpose why I'm here in this world, is to just bring this new healing method into the world. It's really so simple that kids can do it, and yet it can be life-changingly powerful. And it reaches, it really does, it reaches beyond the grave sometimes, because sometimes we have inherited emotional baggage that can go back for 10 or 20 generations. And in fact, I had that myself. I had one of the most profound healing experiences that I've had in my life was when my daughter worked on me and released an emotion that had come to me from one of our Irish grandmothers back 22 generations ago, probably in the late 1400s, we don't know exactly, of hopelessness. And all my life, I had felt that background feeling of hopelessness that I didn't even really, I wasn't even really able to put my finger on until the moment that was released.
Right.
And then I suddenly
right.
understood it. Changed my whole life right. and hers as well.
What an amazing story. I cannot believe we're out of time with you, Dr. Brad. It's been just an extraordinary discussion. Before you leave us, we want to talk about your website. We want to talk about how people can get a free copy of the Emotion Code, how they can go to work on themselves, give it a whirl, see how it is. Do you want to share your information with us, please, the website
yes.
and how they can get it? Yes.
Absolutely. Well, of course, the book is available on Amazon. It's very highly rated on Amazon, and you can get the soft cover there. If you want to get the book to try out without putting out any money at all, that's totally fine. We have a website you can go to. It's called Emotion Code Gift, emotioncodegift.com. You can download the book on audio there as well. So it's a $67 value. It's totally free, no strings attached. You get the PDF of the book, the whole book, and then you also get 10 MP3 downloads. Now, if you want to make it even simpler for yourself, you can go on your phone, either your Android phone or your iPhone or your iPad or your Android tablet. You can go to either the Google Play Store or the App Store and just search for the Emotion Code. And if you download the app of the Emotion Code, it's a very small download, downloads almost instantly, and then you've got the entire book there that you can read, but you've also got the book on audio, so you can press play at any point, and it'll start to read it to you. It'll be me reading it to you. And the book is amazing because it will, you know, there's a whole chapter in there, for example, about animals. You learn how to do the emotion code for people. You automatically know how to do it for animals. You'll learn about the heart wall, which is this invisible wall of energy that we tend to put up around our heart when we feel like our heart is going to break, that most of us have, that can really block us from finding love and success. And you'll learn how to do this on other people, how to do it on yourself, how to do it at a distance. It's all in there.
It's really wonderful. I know I've had some heart wall work done and emotional release techniques done from cords and past lives and family and everything else. So it's wonderful, wonderful work. It really is the cutting edge medicine of today. So listeners, please avail yourself of this wonderful opportunity to, for free, look into Dr. Brad Nelson's work. And I just want to thank you so much for coming. I know you're so busy. You've got people, thousands of practitioners all over the world. You're training people everywhere. You're doing so much good work. Thank you for being with us, and blessings to you for all the wonderful healing and the wonderful work that you're bringing to all of us. And listeners, come back next week when we will have another inspiring program on Living Above the Drama.
Well, I've been sitting here all day, I've been sitting in this waiting room.